I'd invite you to join me as we turn to the scripture again this morning. We turn now to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to read part of the beginning of that chapter and then skip towards verse 18 and following there. If it helps you to follow along, please do that. Of course, you can find it in your favorite Bible. But if you find that following along distracts you, we'd invite you to just hear the word of the Lord this morning. From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, and they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, but since there was no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we gather again in spirit and in heart. And we set this time aside because we really need to hear a word from you. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that once again, you would come among us, that you would pour yourself out on us, and that you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of each of our hearts. Inspire them, breathe life into them, make them come alive for us, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we've started a series where we're reading through Matthew and largely following the gospel readings of the Revised Common Lectionary, hence that really catchy title. And we'll be working our way through the gospel until we get to the beginning of Advent. Now, I wanted to pause just for a second and say that there is available for you on the website, on the app, a little sheet, a place for you to take some notes. It's one of those fill-in-the-blank things, and it's something you can use for your own notes or to draw pictures on or doodle, whatever. And so if that's helpful to you, I draw that to your attention. And for maybe the 80% of us that aren't interested, I would invite you to cheerfully ignore it. So however that works, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. So this week, we've jumped into chapter 13, where we encounter Jesus using parables to teach. In other words, Jesus is telling stories to explain and illustrate what he's teaching. As a quick reminder, of course, where we've been in Matthew, this is not the first time that Jesus is teaching. So if we look at chapters 1 to 4, that we might describe as Jesus' backstory. And that ends with Jesus' baptism and his temptation in the wilderness. And then we move to chapters 5 through 7, which we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And that's a part of this passage where Jesus begins to both to introduce this good news, but also to begin to draw pictures of what it looks like to live a life that's completely sold out to this same good news about the kingdom of God. So in what we now call chapters 8 and 9, Jesus begins to go and he begins to do amazing miracles of healing and starts to have some run-ins with the religious leaders of his day. In chapter 10, Jesus calls and sends out and instructs the 12 disciples to prepare them for their ministry. And then in chapters 11 and 12, Jesus goes back to teaching and preaching and doing miracles as he travels from place to place. We find that Jesus continues to have some conflicts, both with the religious leaders, but with others also. As we were reminded last week, Jesus calls out some folks who were trading the truth for their own reality. Jesus continues to teach, and this part of the gospel ends with a story that Jesus closes with. Who is my brother and my sister and my mother? Those who hear, obey the word of my Father who is in heaven. Those are the folks who are my true family. And so it's after that that Jesus goes down to the lake shore, to the seashore, and begins to teach. He begins to tell the story about a man who goes out to sow seeds. In other words, he's going to go plant. It's really a simple story, but it's also, and it ends with Jesus saying, whoever has ears to hear, listen. But we find that Jesus' story of the sower was hard to hear. When the disciples didn't quite get it, they especially didn't get why Jesus was telling stories in this way. And Jesus' answer to them was that they had received the gift of getting inside information about to get the inside scoop on this kingdom that Jesus was continuing to preach about, and that others hadn't. Now, for us to go into that, this is in that section between where we read this morning. For us to go into that in more detail would be a whole nother sermon. And I try really hard to keep it down to no more than three at a time. So we're just going to leave that for now. But as we leave it, maybe we should hold on to this, that we should at least take from that, that it's important for us to listen carefully to what Jesus says, and especially to listen carefully to what Jesus says rather than just what we think he says. This Jesus story about the sower is hard to hear. It can be hard for us to hear for a number of reasons. One of those is that as Jesus tells the story, this is a very different model of farming. Now, when we think about farming, we generally think, you know, we have a picture that looks kind of like this, right? We're used to thinking about preparing the soil and getting rid of the rocks and the weeds and the thorns and putting things in rows. And it doesn't matter what technology we use for that, we still have this sense of we're preparing the soil so that we can plant very carefully and orderly. Right? These are the pictures that we have in mind when we think about how things get planted. But Jesus has a very different picture in mind. What Jesus is talking about looks like this. And again, it doesn't much matter what the technology is around how it works, right? This is a very different method for how we get things planted. And part of the reason that Jesus' story works is because it was such a common thing. It was the sort of thing that begins with, well, of course, everybody knows how that works. And it is, the analogy works because of the everydayness of it. So another thing that can make it difficult for us to hear is that as an analogy, we have to think about who is what in the story. Right? As Jesus begins to explain the parable, it's an analogy. In other words, there are things in the story that stand for other things, other people. And so if we're going to get the analogy, we have to think about who are you in the story? Who is what as we listen to this? Now, that works out. And we generally know how we answer that question of who are you? Because when we think about it, we know that we're the soil, right? And so the punchline for every sermon that we've ever heard on the story usually ends something like this. So be good soil and give to the building fund. But as we look at the way Jesus tells the story, and especially the stories around it, we find that these are kingdom stories. These are kingdom parables. In other words, it's telling us what is God doing in Jesus Christ in the world. And so as kingdom stories, we have to ask, so where is God in this? And so as we look at the story, as we begin to try to answer that, well, we know that the word is the good news. And we know that God can't be the soil because there's so many different kinds. So who is God? What is God doing in the story? Well, God is the one who brings the growth, right? The creator of the earth does the one thing that we can't do. He brings forth the grain from the ground. This is who God is. He's the one who brings life. So when the seed falls on the good soil and it brings forth grain 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. This is God's work. God is the one who brings life. Now, that brings us back then to the question, so who are you? Who are we in the story? Now, we might still be the soil, I mean, we might still be the soil, and it would be worth us having conversation, as we did with the kids, about what it means for there to be hard spots in our hearts, or the rocks, the weeds, the thorns in our lives. But if we do that, we need to make sure that we look at it through the lens of the means of grace. So, I am not a master gardener. Right? That's just not a passion that I have. Unlike Pastor Mark and Phyllis, I don't have a love for digging in the dirt and seeing things grow. But I have had a lot of experience with gardening over the years and over big parts of my life, whether it was my mom's garden or our garden later, have a lot of experience about how that all works. And one thing I can say with great confidence is that no garden soil ever gets rid of the weeds on its own. Now, let me tell you that I have run extensive experiments on this, right? I have run it with controls and with lots of different variables. And for a while, I was really keen. Maybe it was the how long do you give the soil that might be the king variable. You know, that if you wait long enough, that maybe. But no. No amount of waiting whatever gets you to the point where the garden soil gets rid of the weeds on its own. There's no garden I've ever had that picked rocks on its own. And there's no soil I've ever seen that broke ground to be prepared to plant. We have to look at this through the lens of the means of grace. That was John Wesley's way of talking about the practices that we do, the things that the Holy Spirit has shown the church over the millennia, of how we put ourselves in places where God can go to work in us. And you know the list, right? It's reading the Bible and praying and worshiping with other believers and having conversation about faith with other believers and sharing the good news and serving in Jesus' name and giving, right? All of those things are ways that as we practice that, it puts us in places where God's grace is ready to come and to fill us. Not that God's grace can't come to us outside of the means of grace. But these are things that we know God uses to put us in a place where he can take the seeds that have been planted and break up the hard spots in our hearts and pull the stones and get rid of the weeds so that the gospel can grow in us in amazing and powerful, powerful way. God is the one who brings the growth. And God brings that growth in us. So maybe we are the soil, except that's still our model of farming. So if we're going to look at this parable through Jesus' model of planting, where does that put us? What if we're the sower? What if we're the ones, like the disciples back in chapter 10, what if we're the ones that God intends to take the seed of the good news of the gospel of Jesus, the salvation that he offers us, that we're the ones who are supposed to take the good news of love and faith and share it with those around us. What if we're the ones who are supposed to take this good news and just scatter it around, not only in the places where it's likely to grow, but in places that maybe don't look so good? And what if we're the ones who are supposed to share the good news and trust that God will bring results? That it's not up to us to be responsible for how people respond to the gospel. What if that's who we are in this story? What would that mean for you? What would that mean for us as a church at Countryside? What would it mean if we're the sower? Grace to you and peace.